Driving through Hopkinton today, you can't miss the three-tower-wide power line corridor that streaks through the town. But they were a surprise to many residents 25 years ago when they were installed.
It was days and days of these gigantic helicopters bringing the towers in, and I had no idea what was happening.
Realtor Joni McIntyre was living in town at the time and still sells many houses in Hopkinton. She and fellow realtor Judy Hampe took me for a drive along Phase 2, a high-voltage direct current power line that passes through town and connects Canada's massive hydropower dams to New England. Back in the 1980s, neither McIntyre nor Hampe had heard about the line, not even when pushback in the North Country meant relocating the first section of it, called Phase 1, into Vermont's Northeast Kingdom.
They all of a sudden were big power lines coming through, and I wasn't happy about it, and I thought at the time perhaps there should have been a little more controversy about it.
In the last 25 years, the prospect that a new power line could avoid controversy has decidedly shrunk. There are important differences between Phase 2, which is owned by National Grid, and the Northern Pass, proposed by Public Service of New Hampshire and its parent company, Northeast Utilities. For starters, Phase 2 was built almost entirely on existing rights of way and between two existing power lines, whereas PSNH will have to cut 40 miles of new right of way and widen much of the existing corridor. Also, the towers tend to be shorter, around 85 feet tall, though some are higher. But there are historical echoes between the two projects, too.
You'll have to understand the environment at the time.
Peter Brown is an energy lawyer with Prady Flaherty, who represented the state's concerns when Phase 2 was up for consideration.
There was a consistent fear of dependency on foreign oil. We had, in New England, in particular, suffered from the oil embargoes because we were oil dependent.
In 2014, it's not oil dependence everyone's talking about. It's concerns over climate change and the region's use of natural gas for more than 50% of its energy. That's the case being made by the head of the Northern Pass, Gary Long.
Time is of the essence. We expect problems this winter. The ICE independent system operator, New England, is afraid there won't be enough fuel to make electricity this winter because of the heavy dependence on natural gas.
But despite the similarities in the energy markets, Northern Pass has generated a much more staunch opposition, which has bought up easements to block the route, put up signs all over the state, and turned out en masse to important votes at the State House. Unlike Phase 2, the Northern Pass fight looks more like the drawn-out battle over the Seabrook nuclear power plant. This has led some observers, like lawyer Peter Brown, to predict that the Northern Pass will be okayed over objectors, just like Seabrook, and erected all along the length of the state, just like Phase 2, to carry even more hydropower into the region.
I would think the project would be approved, notwithstanding its opposition. Why would the SEC say anything but, okay, make sure you don't put a tower in the middle of this brook? Or, you know, you watch out for an endangered species over here, move it this way or that way. And don't go along a famous ridge line in the White Mountain National Forest. If you do all of that, you're on your own.
The SEC that Brown just mentioned is the Site Evaluation Committee, a 15-member group made up of state bureaucrats that evaluates energy proposals. When Phase 2 came before this body in 1985, the opposition was focused on the uncertain health impacts of living near a high-voltage transmission line. Brown says he remembers one North Country farmer at a hearing in Colebrook standing up before a room full of utility executives to declare,
"I don't want my tractor to start up without me on it."
But ultimately, these types of concerns weren't convincing. Bruce Ellsworth, a longtime but now retired New Hampshire electrical regulator who sat on the SEC during Phase 2, says at the time, the science didn't support the health argument.
The arguments that they gave were not persuasive enough in Phase 2 to cause the project to be denied.
And evidence of health impacts hasn't exactly piled up since that power line was approved. But most opponents to Northern Pass have shifted to a different focus, the aesthetics of the towers themselves. And on that front, there's a precedent. Last spring, the SEC gave a thumbs down to a small wind farm proposed for a ridge of low hills in the town of Antrim. Amy Manzelli, who represented opponents of the wind farm, says the decision makers said the enormous turbines would appear out of scale and cause significant qualitative impacts.
It was the aesthetics that they found to be dispositive.
In other words, the Antrim decision shows it might be convincing to argue before the SEC that steel lattice towers passing through the White Mountains or the woods of the North Country would be too much of an impact.
It's not an automatic yes. When you go before the Site Evaluation Committee, they do, and perhaps overdo, consideration of every aspect of the law.
But while it's no sure thing that the Northern Pass will make it through the SEC, the biggest threat to the project may not come from bureaucrats, but politicians. In September, Governor Hassan wrote an editorial in the Boston Globe in which she proclaimed, "Exploring new energy sources like large-scale hydropower does not mean just accepting what Northern Pass has offered." And on the other side of the aisle, there's State Senator Jeb Bradley. He has a long history of working out deals with PSNH on thorny issues. But if his rhetoric about the utility is any indication of the broader sentiment in the statehouse, the project may be standing on quicksand.
Northern Pass is not headed toward the finish line. They're not even at the starting gate at this point.
Northern Pass is just one of several open fronts between the legislature and the utility. Its competitors want regulators to force Public Service to sell its power plants, and they want to block it from getting paid back for a $422 million scrubber on a power plant in Bow.
The debate about the scrubber is making people like me, you know, test their hypothesis that it's too expensive to bury the lines. I don't buy it. I don't buy their argument that it's too expensive when they were off by, you know, almost a factor of sevenfold in terms of estimating what the cost of electricity would be on the scrubber.
In the coming weeks, the House of Representatives will vote on a bill that would direct the SEC to automatically consider transmission lines that aren't buried to have an unreasonable impact. It stands a fair chance of getting passed, and if it does, it would seriously hurt Northern Pass's chances with the SEC. PSNH says that could also sink $1.4 billion in construction spending, 1,200 construction jobs, and $28 million per year in local, county, and state tax revenue. Not to mention the potential carbon reductions for the region from importing more hydropower. Even PSNH's Gary Long seems to admit that the project stands on shifting ground.
So yes, I mean, we wouldn't be proposing this project if we didn't think it had public benefits and public merit. And but is it a certainty? No, not by any means.
But if Northern Pass in some form or another is eventually constructed, what then? That's what we'll look at tomorrow. Would we get used to it? Would the fears of opponents of the project be realized? For NHPR News, I'm Sam Evans-Brown.